If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. While you're turning there, I just got to say, apologize for two things right off the bat. So first of all, I need to apologize for whatever I'm going to say today. There's no telling what I'm going to say. I got in last night at 2 o'clock in the morning. We had a thunderstorm come through Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area, shut down all the flights and messed everything up. So my flight was canceled, first of all, delayed. And so I got in at 2 a.m. So I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm not sharp. I apologize for that. I'm kind of fuzzy right now. And so I need to apologize for that, number one. And I don't drink coffee. So I drink tea, which is not as strong and powerful as coffee. So maybe I just need to inject it in my vein. But I also need to apologize for my face. So, I'm apologizing right now. So, my wife sets up this appointment for me to go to my dermatologist, and I see her like once a year now, or whatever, because I had these cancer spots cut out of my face, and so I got to go see her once a year now. Well, I thought it was my yearly checkup. I go in on Wednesday and sit down, and she goes, "Oh, you still got some spots here on the side of your face." She whips out this nitrogen bottle and liquid nitrogen thing and just puts it up to my head before I even realize it and start. I'm like, whoa, "Wait, what are you doing?" And she's like, "I got to burn these spots off. You got these spots." I'm like, "Well, chill." I said, "I'm preaching Sunday." She goes, "Well, that's a bad appointment schedule. You shouldn't have done that." And I'm like, "Well, I didn't set the appointment up." I said, "My wife did, and I'm just thinking it's just a yearly checkup." She goes, "Well, you still need to get these done." And then just start, and then she goes and hits the other side, and just like pop, 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 pop. I'm like, and then so now I look like, you know, my kid played with a magic marker on my face or something. So I apologize for those two things. So I have a wife named Jennifer. She's the one that set up my appointment for me. And a son named Jake. He's 14. And we're from Texas. And we do rodeo. And so not everybody in Texas does that. I know y'all think everybody in Texas has, you know, boots and hats and all that. We do, because we do it. But not everybody in Texas is like that. So so my son had a rodeo yesterday. Is why I had to take a second flight. And anyway, so it's all crazy. But it's good to be here. It's good to be back. And if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6, we're going to look in verse 3 and verse 4. Romans 6, 3 and 4. The Bible says this: "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can live a new life. Thank you that we can be changed. And I pray, Father, for those that are here today that don't know you, don't have a relationship with you, that God, you would make it very crystal clear how much that you love them and you want to change them forever. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, I have my wife, and I was thinking about my friend's wife, this guy that used to work with me, and his name was Zach. And when he traveled with me on the road for about 3 years. And Zach came up to me one day and he goes, "Hey, Ronnie," he said, "I want you to do me a favor." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm about to propose to Miranda." That was his girlfriend he'd been dating for 5 years. He said, "I'm going to propose, and I was wondering if you would do our wedding." I said, "Well, Zach, I would be honored to do your wedding." I said, "But if I'm going to do your wedding, I got to be straight up with you. You know, I got to do premarital counseling. We got to do that and stuff." And I said, "I need to talk with you." He goes, "Well, what?" I said, "Well, you need to know, first off, you're going to get ripped off from the get-go." He goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "You're going to get ripped off on this whole wedding thing, and you need to be good with that from the start." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'm not going to get ripped off." I said, "Zach, before you came and asked me to do your wedding, what was the first thing you had to do?" He thought about it, and he said, "I had to go buy a ring." I said, "Exactly. I said, you went out by a multi-$1,000 ring. You're a college student. You are dirt broke poor. You don't have no money, and you're going to go in debt from the very beginning." He said, "Well, that's it." I said, "Oh, no, Zach. No, it's not." I said, you're going to get ripped off from the whole thing throughout this wedding thing. He said, how? I said, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to start throwing all these parties for y'all. These showers. They're going to throw these showers for you, and they're going to say it's for the bride and groom, but Zach, it's not. It's just for her. And I said, they're going to throw all the good and give all these presents for her, it's not about you. He said, that's where you're wrong. He said, I got to register. I said, Zach, where'd you register? He said, Bed Bath & Beyond and Dillard's and Macy's. And I said, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I said, Zach, if it was for you, if there were presents for you, you would get to register at like Home Depot, Lowe's, Academy, Cabela's, Bass Pro Shop. See, ladies, I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all want to give us some China? We don't want China. Men do not want China. Listen, I'm going to tell you, if you want to give us some plates, give us 1,000 paper plates. So when it's our turn to do the dishes, we just whip out them paper plates. We throw them out there. We got it, honey. You want us to clean up? We just wad up in paper plates. No dishes, no nothing. Just throw them away. Give us that. Listen, we don't want China. We don't want lace. No, we want some tools, some power tools. I don't care if we live in an apartment and we don't have a tree on our place. We want a chainsaw. That's what we want. Just so we can fire that puppy up, just wham, bah, 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 during Halloween and stuff, and run all the little kids off. And we want nail guns. We want just pop, 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 pop. We want stuff like that. All right. So I said, "You're gonna get ripped off." He said, "That's it." I said, "No, Zach. The wedding. The wedding. Listen, Zach. It's not about you. It is about her. You need to understand that." He said, "How?" I'm going to tell you, y'all will never meet him, so I can tell y'all this. Zach, at his wedding, no joke, at the reception, bride's cake, 7 foot tall, has all kinds of layers and tiers and little champagne fountain shooting out the top with Ken and Barbie at the top, live birds flying around and stuff, little remote control limo at the bottom for Ken and Barbie. What did Zach get? I'm going to tell y'all, I think they forgot to get him a cake. I think they showed up at the wedding like, oh, we got to get a groom's cake. Hey, somebody go down to Walmart. Y'all buy him one of them happy birthday cakes. But it's a birthday cake. Don't matter. We'll scrape off birthday cake. With a toothpick, we'll write groom on it. And then we'll throw a duck on it. He'll be good. That's what he got. One layer. Chocolate. That's it. Little square cake. That's it. Threw some little camouflage around it. That was it. That was the groom's cake. At wedding, I said, Zach, at the wedding, it's all about her. He goes, well, see, that's where you're wrong, because I got to pick you out. I said, no, she let you pick me out. I said, you had no say in that whatsoever. She made you think you did. I said, but the wedding's about her. Case in point, my wedding, here's what went down. Okay, so my dad did my wedding. He performed the service. So my dad and I, we're over here on the side. We have one of them side doors, you know, and we're over here. There was a wedding coordinator. Do y'all have one of those wedding coordinators here at the church? No? Oh, you're the wedding coordinator. Oh, that's good. So we're over here, me and my groomsmen and stuff. Wedding coordinator's at the back. Our cue to come out was after all the grandparents got seated, then cue was she's going to nod at us. That's when we come out. All right, that was a cue. All right, so here we are. Everybody gets seated. She gives Dad a little nod. Dad said, okay, it's our turn. Let's go. I said, wait, Dad, wait. He goes, what? I said, listen. He said, I don't hear nothing. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I don't hear no music. I don't think we're supposed to go. He goes, okay. We sat back there. Now the wedding coordinator is doing this right here. He said, she did again. I think we're supposed to go. I said, but I still don't hear no music. He said, okay. We're sitting there. Now the wedding coordinator, she's really ticked off. She's back here. She's doing this right here. He said, I know. We're supposed to go. I said, okay. We walk out. No music. No nothing. I just walk out. Everybody's looking at me like, that's who she's married? She could have done better. That's what they're all looking at me like. You know. But now when the bride comes out, whole different ball game. Bride comes out. Watch this. So in our wedding, they start playing some tinkle music. I don't even know what it was. It's like tinkle on a harp or something. Just like tinkle, 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 tinkle. And then these four little midget girls in these midget wedding dresses start walking down the aisle. And they're like, tinkle, tinkle. And they got baskets of rose petals. And they start walking down the aisle to the tinkle music. And they just start putting the little rose petals right where they're supposed to put. Pop, pop, pop. And everybody's, oh, oh. These four little girls walk up and say, pop, 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 right exactly where they're supposed to go. Not my side. I don't get four cute little girls. You know what I get? I get some snot-nosed little boy. I don't even know who he is. We come in, he's playing cops and robbers with the crowd. He's shooting them all up. Pow, 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 pow. I'm not like, I'm having to tell my groom, somebody tie the boy down. Tie him down right now. And so he's snot going everywhere. He's shooting everybody up. We get him right there. And then after all the little girls get in place, then it kicks up a notch. It's tinkle music with a little orchestra behind it. So it's tinkle, tinkle, whoa. Tinkle, tinkle, whoa. Then bridesmaids start coming down the aisle. Not one bridesmaid in my wedding. Not two, not three, not four. Do you know how many bridesmaids were in my wedding? 10. 10. Do y'all understand? I don't have 10 friends. I had to hire 8 people off the street I don't even know just to put them in a tux just to match up to her side. She's got a daggum choir up here. They're like, pop, 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 pop. They're all up here. And so then once they all get up here, then you know what happens. There's a dramatic pause, right, in every wedding. Dramatic pause. Then you hear one chord that I think is the F chord. Dun, 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 dun. See, you all almost wanted to stand up right there, didn't you? It's built in, it's inbred in you. You hear that chord, you just automatically turn around, salute the back. Ladies start crying on cue on that chord. Some of y'all go to weddings and you don't even know the bride, but you start crying. It's like, what are you crying for? Oh, she's just so pretty. She's so pretty. And then what happens is the bride appears in the doorway with the father magically in tow, and then smoke starts pouring down the aisle. A couple of white dove are released in the building. And then she starts coming down the aisle to that song. You know, the dun, 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 dun. I'm thinking, what is taking so long? I mean, I just walked in, everybody's staring at me. No, we got to drag it out. You get married once in your life, so you're going to take a long time to get down the aisle. Finally, I figured out what it was. It wasn't like she's trying to take a long time. It's like she's got a 60-foot train going out the back of the church, and she can't pull it down the aisle. It's like, I wish I'd have worked out in the gym a little bit harder on my legs. And finally, Uncle Charlie, you know, he can't take it no more. He whips out his pocket out, cuts that thing off. She gets all the way down the front. Gets to the front, and the pastor says this. In every wedding, it goes like this. Who gives this bride away? Her father says, her mother and I do. He kisses his daughter. They get up on the platform. Now, they get to the point in the stage in every wedding where the pastor always looks at the groom, and he says this. May I have the ring, please? Let me ask you ladies something. What if in your wedding, on your special day, it got to that point? What if your groom-to-be said this to the pastor? Psst, skip it. No, I need the ring. I've got to talk about the unending love, the purity. Give me the ring. Psst, pastor, it's not about the ring. It's just about our love for each other. There's no time for a groom joke. I need the ring. Give me the ring. Psst, pastor, just skip the ring. It's not important. Ladies, let me ask you a question. What if your groom-to-be did that to you on your special day in front of all your family and friends, and he did that to you and embarrassed the fool out of you at the altar? How many of you ladies, by a show of hands, would be honest enough to say, remember, we're in church, would be honest enough to say by a show of hands that you would go bridezilla all over his head right there at the altar? Go ahead, raise your hand right now. One lady. Two, three. The rest of y'all are liars. You're going to hell. Now I know what we're preaching on. preaching on lying this morning because we got a bunch of liars in here. You know, you ladies, if your groom-to-be did that to you on your wedding day, you would go bridezilla all over his head right there. Don't say, oh, no, Brother Ronnie, we just pray about it. I just pray for him. No, you wouldn't. You would go all over him. Right? Oh, ladies, since y'all can't tell the truth this morning, I'm going to show y'all some truth, some honesty. Men, let me ask you a question. How many of you men, by a show of hands, if your bride-to-be, your fiancé-to-be, if you spent all that hard-earned money on that rock that she picked out, by the way, there are ladies elbowing their husband. Does this look like a rock to you? I don't think this is a rock. If your bride-to-be, she picked out that rock, you spent that hard-earned money on it, you even took her to a nice restaurant to propose. I mean, that like had real silverware. And had real glasses that like you could see through and didn't have like the letter M on it and stuff. And so you got down on your knee and you in front of the whole restaurant, you asked her, will you marry me? What if she said this to you? Man, what if she said, that's a pretty ring. Yeah, I'll take that ring. And I want you to buy me a new house. I want you to buy me a new car. Take me shopping on a regular basis and keep taking me to nice restaurants like this. And also, I want to keep dating other people, too. Ladies, y'all want to see some honesty? Y'all watch this. Men, how many of y'all, by a show of hands, if your fiancé-to-be did that to you, how many of you, by a show of hands, would take that ring and chunk it in a lake? No, you would take it back, hawk it, get your money back. Raise your hand right now. Go ahead. Ladies, do y'all see the honesty in the room? Do you see the honesty? See, that's how we are. We just tell it like it is. We tell the truth. Well, there you go. So you can raise your hand right now. Two hands. You can go ahead and both hands. So let me ask you a question. If you don't want anybody to do that to you, because that would say that they're embarrassed of you, they're not proud of you. If you don't want anybody to do that to you, then why do you think you can do that to Jesus? See, because here's the deal. Baptism is the wedding ring of the Christian life. And here's what's going to happen. Before this thing's over today, there's going to be a bunch of people in here follow through and be scripturally baptized today. Because, see, we don't want anybody to do that to us because that wouldn't say that that would say that they're ashamed of us. They're not proud of us. How much more? I mean, should we be proud and celebrate what Jesus did, his love for us by dying on the cross for us? And how much should we celebrate that by identifying with him and following through in baptism? So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a lot of people get baptized that have never been scripturally baptized. It's going to happen today right here. You say, you really think that's going to happen? I know it's going to happen. Now, here's what we're going to do. You say, well, what are we talking about here? All right, first of all, you need to know this. Because I realize that I go to a lot of different churches. We have people that are members of churches, people that are visiting and stuff. Listen, I don't care what church you come from. I don't care what denomination you're from. I'm not preaching as a Baptist today, all right? I'm preaching as a Christian who loves Jesus, and I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says, all right? So if you don't like that, I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with God about it because I'm not preaching from a denomination standpoint. I'm preaching from what the Bible teaches. And by the way, there's going to be a bunch of Baptists get mad before this thing's over with tonight, today too. Just want you to know. And so Baptists, y'all just going to have to get over yourselves because I'm just going to teach you what the Bible says, okay? Are y'all good with that? All right, so here we go. In Romans chapter 6, verse 3, we're going to discuss what is baptism. What is it? Romans 6, 3 says, or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. All right, so just so you know this, the Bible that you have, I don't care whether you're Catholic, Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Assembly of God, I don't care. Your Bible, it was not written in English, okay? The Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek, all right? So there in the Greek, Romans chapter 6, verse 3, the word baptized, the Greek word, is baptizo. That word literally means to immerse. So everybody in the Bible that was baptized, they were immersed. They were literally buried in water. You say, why were they baptized like that? Because they all understood what it meant. It was a symbol. And here's what the symbol is. is that just like what we've got through reading, when you go underwater, it's a symbol of your old person, your old nature, sin. It's buried. When you come up out of the water, it's a symbol you're a new person in Christ. Just like Jesus, when he rose from the dead, we raised to live a new life. That's what it's a symbol of. Now, I'm just going to tell you straight up, okay? Y'all need to hear this loud and clear. The Bible does not teach that baptism saves you. Y'all understand that? Baptism is just a symbol letting everybody else know you've been saved. Like this wedding ring, it didn't make me love my wife. Before I walked down the aisle with her and all those, you know, the four little girls and the 10 bridesmaids, I already loved my wife before I even did that. But when I put the ring on, it was just a symbol that I'm committing my life to her and her alone for the rest of my life. It didn't make me automatically, magically love her all of a sudden. I already did. It was just a symbol of my commitment to her. That's the same way it is with baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. It just lets everybody else know what's happening inside. Basically, here's what. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. That's what baptism is. So there's going to be a bunch of you that are going to fall through today and be scripturally baptized, because many of you in here have never been scripturally baptized, and you're going to have an opportunity to do that today right here. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If baptism will save you, you know what I'd do? If baptism will save you and get you to heaven, instead of preaching a message, what I would have done is, after they get through singing, I just had a water hose back here. I just whip out that water hose and just I just hose every one of y'all down. I get y'all all wet. You people in the back, I just sprinkle y'all. Y'all be Methodists. I just make sure everybody is going to go to heaven. But baptism doesn't save you. It just lets everybody know you've been saved. All right? Can I get a witness on getting a fresh new start? Amen. A brand new start with Christ. That's what it's a symbol of. Okay. So now, that's what baptism is. Now you say, okay, Ronnie, I understand what it is, but why should I do it? Why should I get baptized? What's the big deal? Okay. Three things real quick, because we got to get on baptizing people. First of all, Matthew 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, whoa, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, by the way, Greek word, baptizo, Jesus was immersed. All right. As soon as Jesus was baptized, or you see that? He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Now, let me ask you a question. Did Jesus need to get baptized to get forgiveness of sin? No. Because Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He had never, ever sinned. So why did Jesus get baptized? Jesus got baptized to set the example for us and to identify with us. Just like the prophets of old, like Daniel and Moses and Nehemiah and Ezra and on, they had never rebelled against God. It was the nation of Israel, but they confessed sin on behalf of them. Jesus had never sinned. He was just identifying with us and showing us an example of what we're to do. That's the first reason why you need to be baptized. Now let me tell you the second reason. Because Jesus commands us to be baptized. In Matthew 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands us to be baptized. Third reason we need to be baptized is because the Bible commands us to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. By the way, when Peter said that, in other words, once again, Greek word, baptizo. So Jesus was baptized that way. Peter commands us to be baptized that way. The Bible commands us. You know, bottom line is, you know what the deal is about baptism? Baptism, it's just a matter of obedience. It's just a matter of obedience. And here's the thing. I've been doing this for a long time. I've done it preached all over the United States, all over the world. And I talked to a lot and counseled thousands. This is not some, you know, exaggeration. Literally thousands of people that I've talked to that are struggling with, am I saved, am I not? They're not for sure, back and forth. And you want me to tell you what a bunch of them, the reason why they're struggling with that, and a bunch of you, why you're struggling with, am I saved, am I not? Because you've never been scripturally baptized since you've been saved to begin with. And so, in your mind, you're back and forth. I don't know. Because let me ask you a question. How can you be a faithful Sunday school teacher? How can you be a faithful usher, a faithful worship team member, or Sunday school teacher, anything? If you don't obey Jesus, what he tells us to do, the first step, once we give our life to Christ, we are to follow through and be scripturally baptized. If you won't obey him there, how are you going to obey him the rest of your Christian walk? Really, how are you going to do it? You're going to make excuses and say, oh, well, it's for everybody else, not for me? No, it's for everybody. It's a matter of obedience. So I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do something y'all have probably never done before. The band is not going to be here during worship, during the invitation today. They're not singing. You know why they're not singing? Because I want to free everybody up in this building. If they need to obey Christ and follow through and be scripture baptized, they can. I don't care if they play drums, guitar, sing, whatever. I am freeing everybody up in this place to obey God. So we're going to play a CD during the invitation. We're not having live worship. I'm going to tell you something else. I've seen worship leaders. I've seen people that have been helping with baptism committee people. I've seen them follow through and be scripture baptized. So I'm going to free everybody up to obey God. And when you do, God will bless your obedience. I was preaching in California, and there was a lady on the second row right over here. She was a counselor for the crusade. She had a badge on saying that she was a counselor. During the invitation, she took her badge off, set it down in her Bible, and she walked right up to the pastor. She said, Pastor, I need to be scripturally baptized. My baptism is out of order. As soon as she did that, her 16-year-old son that she'd been praying for years to give his life to Christ followed right behind her and gave his life to Christ and was saved. God blessed that mother's obedience. And God will bless your obedience too when you obey. You say, okay, Ronnie, I understand what baptism is. I understand why I'm supposed to do it, but Ronnie, what I am totally confused about is when. I don't know when I'm supposed to be baptized. What, you know, some people say this, one denomination says this, and other people. Let's just see what the Bible says, okay? And once again, Baptists, y'all going to have to chill out because on one of these points, y'all going to get freaked out on this. But we're just going to go with what the Bible teaches, right? Amen? We're going with what the Bible teaches? We good with that? Okay, so two things about when you're baptized. First of all, you're baptized after you commit your life to Christ, not before. Some of y'all got the cart before the horse, and you were baptized first as a baby, a kid, whatever. You might have even been baptized here. And later on in your life, you gave your life to Christ. And since you've been saved, you have not been scripturally baptized. You say, oh, no, I was baptized 3 or 4 times. No, you got wet at church 3 or 4 times. You cannot be scripturally baptized until you're saved to begin with. You say, well, where is that in the Bible? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of references. We could go all day on this, but I'm just going to give you two because we got to get to baptizing people, all right? So Acts chapter 8, verse 13 says, Simon believed, and then he was baptized. So he believed first, then he was baptized. He didn't get baptized first and then believe. He believed, then he was baptized. You want another one? Acts chapter 10, verse 47, 48. Bible says this, can anyone withhold water and prevent these people from being baptized who received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So what happened was, they received the Holy Spirit, then they were baptized, not the other way around. Okay? And some of you are like my wife. That happened to my wife. Same thing. My wife's from Florida. She grew up there when she was 10 years old. My wife's mother said, hey, honey, we're going to take you down to church. We're going to baptize you and your baby brother. She said, okay. So they took her down to church, baptized her baby brother. He was only a few months old. My wife grew up her whole life thinking because she was a good girl and because she was baptized, that was going to get her to heaven. It wasn't until my wife was 26 years of age that she realized the only way she could get to heaven was because Jesus died on the cross for her. He was buried and he rose again. And that was the only way her sins could be forgiven. So my wife at 26 repented of her sins, invited Christ to come in her life, and she was saved. She was changed. As soon as that happened, she followed through and she was scripturally baptized. You say, well, wait, Ronnie. Wasn't that a slam on her mom? I mean, wasn't that in her face of her mom? Hey, listen, I'm sure that was special with her mom, and I'm sure it was meaningful with her mom, but it was not scriptural. And my wife knew it's more important to obey what God says than worry about what her mom or anybody else says. And she fought through and she was scripturally baptized. Guess what happened? her mom came to see her baptized. So listen, it's after you're saved. It's not before. Now let me show you the second thing about baptism on when we're baptized and then we're done, okay? We got to start getting baptized in people. All right, so the second thing, I need Baptists because y'all going to freak out about this. I told y'all going to have issues. So Baptists, let's go ahead and take a deep breath, all right, because I don't want y'all stressing out, having a heart attack or anything on me on this deal. So go ahead, Baptists, just take a deep breath and just exhale. I'm not kidding. I really want y'all to take a deep breath, right? Okay, this. All right. On what does the Bible say about when we're baptized? Are you ready, Baptist? Don't freak out. We do have oxygen tanks in here somewhere, don't we? So we need them little light defibrillators, you know. Okay. Good. See, that's what. Get an oxygen tank while you're at it. Maybe they'll throw one in for free. All right. So when you're baptized, you ready? Baptist, it's immediate. Calm down. I know y'all about to pass out. It's immediate. Everywhere in Scripture, when somebody gave their life to Christ, when they were saved, they were baptized immediately. Not 6 weeks later, not 6 months, not 6 years. They were baptized immediate. You don't believe me? Because listen, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what the denomination says. What does the Bible say? What does it teach? What happened? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. About 3,000 were added to their number that day. That day. Not 6 weeks later, not 6 months. That day. You say, but Ronnie, that's the early church. They were real unorganized. You know, Peter run around with like his head chopped, cut off and stuff, like a chicken with his head cut off. So, you know, they're just they're not organized like we are today. You know, that's our. You want another example? Okay, here's another one. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Here you got an evangelist involved. His name is Philip. God tells Philip, go stand by the chariot. So he goes, stands by the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. As he's standing there, the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. Philip says, hey, you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I understand what I'm reading unless somebody explains it to me? So he says, get up in the chariot. Gets up in the chariot to go down the road. Dude ends up getting saved. So here's what happened. Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, hey, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. Right there. Baptized him. Guess what? Y'all ready for this? There wasn't a church to vote on it. I know that just Baptists, that just drives y'all nuts. Because you like to vote on stuff. Nobody. What? There wasn't deacons. There wasn't a baptism committee. There wasn't nobody handing him a robe. Baptized him on the spot right there. And guess what? Y'all ready for this one? Here's the big kicker. Ethiopian eunuch had zero family there to see him baptized. None. You know why? Dude's from Ethiopia. Y'all, this is really going to freak y'all out. You ready for this, Baptist? He wasn't even from their church. Wasn't even from the association. Wasn't even from the Baptist convention. He was from Ethiopia. And he knew he's on his way back home. He could get killed. He could get mugged. Something could happen on his way home. And he thought, you know what? It is better for me to obey God right now than to wait. Did it right then and there. That's what's going to happen today. We're going to have people right now getting baptized today. They weren't even expecting. Didn't even know it's going to happen. Today. You say, well, Ronnie, that's just two examples. You know, now you got a crazy evangelist. Y'all all the same. So they just do crazy stuff. That's why that happened like that. Okay, I'm going to give you one more example of the Bible. And here's the thing. If you don't like this one, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to rip out your entire New Testament almost and just walk around with a little flappy part and call it a Bible, but it's just a piece of leather cover is what all it is. Because this guy that I'm about to talk about wrote the majority of the New Testament. His name is Paul. So Paul and Silas are in prison. And they're in prison for preaching the Word of God. And as they're praying, crawling out to God, singing praises, worshiping, big old earthquake happens. Bust up the jail at midnight. Convicts running everywhere, escaping prison stuff. So the head jailer's thinking, man, I'm letting all these convicts get out. I'm going to have to kill myself because my boss is going to really torture me in the morning. And he's going to kill me. So I might as well do it myself, be quick and easy. So he's about to kill himself. Paul says, hey, don't be killing yourself. We're in here. So here's what happened. Acts chapter 16, verse 29. The jailer called for lights. He rushed in and he fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved, you and your whole household. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, now remember, I told you the earthquake was about midnight. So by the time they go back to the jailer's house, he cooks a meal for them, they eat, Paul preaches. Dude's a long-winded preacher. So it's at least 3 o'clock in the morning, maybe. I mean, because y'all getting lucky today. Y'all getting a short sermon. Dude, he preached so long. Listen, and so he's thinking, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's late at night. At least three. Look what happened. The jailer took them, washed their wounds, then immediately. You might want to underline that in your Bible. That in that version, it says right away. In the NIV, it says immediately. He and all of his family were baptized. The jailer brought them out into his house and set a meal before them. And he was filled with joy in the NIV. What's it say in that one? He said, we come to believe in the entire house. So he brought them out in the house, set a meal before them, and rejoiced. NIV says, filled with joy. You might want to underline one of those two words. Because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Listen, there's a lot of you here today. You don't have any joy in your life. I can see it in your eyes. You don't have joy. You can walk out of here today with joy. You can walk out of here filled with peace, filled with purpose, filled with meaning today. Jesus can do that for you right here, right now, today. They got baptized at 3 a.m. They didn't say, hey, let's wait till church next Sunday, on Sunday and do it and all that. Let's call everybody. No, they did it right then. You said, Ronnie, you really think there's going to be a bunch of people get baptized here this morning? I know there is. First time I preach this message, you know how many people we baptize? And I wasn't even going to preach on baptism. I was going to preach at church. I preach at every year. And he says, hey, I want you to preach on baptism. I said, I don't even have a message on that. He said, well, get one. So, wrote a message on baptism. Do you know how many people we baptized that Sunday morning? In one church. 200 people on a Sunday morning. 200. We had 3 baptistries going at the same time. 200. Y'all said, oh, I know what y'all did. Y'all went and got a bunch of buses. Y'all got one of all the neighborhoods, got all these kids, and went and baptized all these kids, and they didn't even know what they're doing. Nope. No children baptized that morning. They had a super service or whatever it's called. We had one of them services. They're probably having more fun than we are. They had a super service. And so you let me tell you who some of the people were. Here's one. One of the guys that got baptized that morning was a guy was a flight engineer for Air Force One for President Bush and President Obama. That was one of the guys. You want another guy? There was a guy that got saved in the 70s. His name was Johnny, but was scared to death of water. He got baptized that morning. There was a guy that just got out of prison, and he and his wife got married. They were saved and baptized that morning. We had a girl that was helping with the baptism. She was baptized that morning. She's like giving them towels and stuff like that, and she says, I got to go. And they go, well, we need you to help us. She says, I've got to be baptized. They said, oh, okay, go. Some of y'all thinking, well, you got a good excuse. I know you think you got a good excuse because you've been working a long time. You want to hear this? There was a girl who just had surgery on her nose. Could not get it wet. Doctor's orders, do not get your nose wet. So you know what she did? I don't even know where she found it. She went and got an oxygen mask, put over her nose so that when she went underwater, her nose would stay dry and she could still obey God. And you think you got a good excuse. I have seen everybody you could possibly... 2 weeks ago, I was in Mississippi. There was a guy blind from birth. Can you imagine that? The fear, the fright of being baptized. You can't see. You can't see who's baptized you. You don't know if you can trust them. He was baptized. I'm going to tell you something. You need to do it today. And a lot of you say, well, Ronnie, I can't. You, Ronnie, so, ladies, y'all ready? Because I know your excuses. Ronnie, you just don't understand. It's not summer yet. So because it's not summer, my legs are not tan. If my legs were tan, I would do it. All right, ladies, look up here. Look, Because I know you're worried about your mascara going, looking like a raccoon and stuff like that. No, just look right here. All right. I want to tell y'all something. I have got some chicken white legs. I'm talking about toothpick white chicken legs. I want y'all to look. I want y'all to see. Okay? What are you laughing about? I'm serious. See them chicken white legs? See them? Now, I do have a little definition right here. When I'm running marathons, I have a little definition right there. I haven't run in a couple of years. So, y'all see, Pastor, you see these white legs? I bet you got some white legs. Oh, now you turn the lights on. Should have had them puppies on the whole time. Leave them on. All right. See that? You got white hairy legs? Okay. Listen, if I can show you my chicken white legs, can't you get a little wet for Jesus? I don't care what you think about me. I really don't. I don't care. I just care what God thinks. And you don't need to worry about what anybody else says or thinks either. You just need to worry about what God says. He said, Ronnie, that's not it. Ronnie, this is serious. This is a big time deal. And if I'd have known that you were going to be doing this, I got family all on the East Coast and West Coast. I'd like to fly them in. I'd like everybody to be here to see my baptism and stuff. Hey, listen, what do we say about the Ethiopian eunuch? How many people do you have with him? Zero. But I tell you what, since you're worried about it, here's what we're going to do. We got somebody that's going to take pictures of the baptism, all right? And they're going to take pictures of you getting baptized. And here's what we'll do. We'll have them here for you next week and for you. If you want to pick them up, you can pick them up. And here's what we'll do. You can send them puppies to Walmart. They can make little wallet-sized pictures of you getting baptized. You can send them all over the country. They're real cheap. You can send them all over the country, letting everybody, all friends and family, know you got baptized. They got a thing now called Fathead for athletes. You know what you can do? You can get everybody to come over after church next Sunday. Put that Fathead of you getting baptized on the wall and just walk up to them and say, whoop, there it is. There's me getting baptized last week right there. Just whoop, right there. See it? If you're worried about people not being here, family not being here, but the Ethiopian eunuch had zero with him. Just the evangelist, that was it. No, this needs to be today, right now. He said, but Ronnie, I really would do it, but I didn't know you're preaching on this. So this is real serious. Ronnie, hey, what you see is what you get. This is all I got. This is why I came to church in. I got you covered. We have got you some drawers. We got drawers for you. These are brand new drawers. We got big drawers. We got little bitty drawers. We got all kinds of drawers. Stretchy drawers. Brand new. See that tag on it? You know what that means? Nobody's business has been in these drawers. All right? Y'all see that? We not only do you have you a brand new shorts, we got you a brand new t-shirt, and we got you a towel. So what's the excuse? None. Oh, wait, I forgot. We do have a group of people here who have a legitimate excuse why they can't get baptized today. And you do have a legitimate excuse, and I forgot. And it's those of you who have never given your life to Christ. Because I'm going to tell you this. This isn't about getting wet. This is about a relationship with Jesus. That's what this is about. And you can't get baptized until you're saved to begin with. That's like trying to put on a wedding ring right now and you don't even know who you're dating yet. Now, I'm talking about you making a decision today. If you've never given your life to Christ and you want a relationship with him, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer in just a minute. It's not a magical prayer. We're not blessing the food. I'm talking about committing your life to Jesus. I'm talking about marriage, spiritual marriage, saying, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. If you've never done that before and you'd like to, I'm going to give you a chance. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a prayer and it's going to go like this. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've messed up. And I want to ask you to forgive me my sins. And I want to turn from my sins and I want to invite you into my life to be my boss, Lord, and Savior. If you've never done that before and you'd like to commit your life, you don't have any joy, you don't have any peace, you want it today, he'll change your life. Because here's the deal. There was a 17-year-old girl that was raped by an 18-year-old guy. And according to all the talking heads on the news, all the people in politics in Washington right now, that 17-year-old girl should have an abortion. Matter of fact, there was a lady that tried to get her to go to an abortion clinic to abort the baby since it was a result of a rape. And she said, no, I'm going to have this baby. 9 months later, she had a 6.5-pound baby boy. And that baby boy is me. And I'm not here by accident. And just like you're not here by accident, you're here for a reason and a purpose. And that reason and purpose is that God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. But if you don't have that relationship, that's the whole reason why you're miserable. You have no peace. You have no purpose. He wants that with you. That's why you were created. And if you want that relationship with him, you can have it right here today. He'll change your life. So could you do me a favor? Can you give me 2 minutes? I want to ask nobody get up, nobody leave, no ushers, no band people are getting up, nobody. Just give me 2 minutes. This is the most important time of the whole service. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes, please? With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning, say, Ronnie, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus. I don't have any peace or purpose or meaning, but I want it right now. I want to commit my life to him. If that's you, then right where you're seated, then you just pray that prayer with me and let him change your life. Just you're repenting of your sins and believing in Jesus and committing your life to him, knowing that he died on the cross for you and he rose again. You said, yeah, I want to do that. Then pray this prayer with me right now. Just silently with me to God. Pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've messed up. And I want to ask you to forgive me of my sins. And God, I turn from my sins. And I invite you into my life to be my boss and my Lord and my best friend. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And thank you for saving me, Lord Jesus. Now, heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to come to you and embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I don't believe in that. I just want to pray for you. If you're here this morning and you say, for the first time in my life, Ronnie, I understood what I was doing. I meant business. I just prayed that prayer. I just committed my life to Jesus. If you just prayed that prayer with me, would just those of you that prayed that prayer, would you just look up at me right now? Let me catch your eyes. Say, Ronnie, that's me. Yes, ma'am. Over here. Anybody else in this section right here? Say, Ronnie, that's me. I just prayed that prayer, and I just invited Jesus to come to my life. Yes, ma'am. Back here in the back. Anybody else over here? Say, Ronnie, that's me. I just prayed that prayer, and I just invited Jesus to come to my life. Just look up. Let me catch your eyes. Okay, buddy. All right. Those of you that prayed that prayer, man, I'm excited for you. And here's what we're going to do. In just a minute, we're going to stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. When we do, I'm going to pray. When I say amen, pastor's going to be right here. I'll be right here. All of you that pray that prayer, when we stand up, I say amen. You come to the pastor. You come to myself. You say, what are we going to do? We're just going to introduce you to a person called an encourager. They're just going to take you to the side over here through this room right here where everybody else is going to be. They're just going to pray with you, give you some material. And here's what you're going to be able to do. You're going to be able to celebrate today. Follow through and be scripturally baptized. And they'll show you where the clothes are, that you'll go to a private changing area where you can get changed and come out and get baptized and walk out of here with joy on your face and in your heart. All right? So when we stand just a minute, we do that. And I say amen. You step out and come. You can put your heads back down now. There's one more group of people I want to talk to. And that's those of you that you know you have not been scripturally baptized. Whether you've given your life to Christ before, whether it's at an Easter service or watching Billy Graham on TV, but you've never been scripturally baptized. You've never identified with Jesus. You've never had the wedding ring of the Christian life, the baptism. You say, Ronnie, that's me. Maybe your baptism is out of order. Maybe you're like my wife. You're baptized first, whether it's a kid, a baby. Later in your life, you got saved. And since you've been giving your life to Christ, you haven't followed them, been scripturally baptized. And it's been driving you crazy. And you're back and forth. I don't know if I'm saved, back and forth and all that. You say, Ronnie, that's me. God spoke to me today. And I know that's the first step of obedience, and I need to obey him. If that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you would like for me to pray for you, that you'll have the courage to take that stand and obey God and nail that down today, would you look up at me right now? Let me catch your eyes. Say, Ron, that's me. I need to follow through and be scripturally baptized today. I got you, buddy. All right? Anybody else? Say, Ron, that's me. Okay. Anybody else? Say, I need to do that, Ronnie. I need to follow through and be scripturally baptized. Okay? Those that you looked up, when we stand, I say amen. You step out and come. Okay, we'll be right here for you. Can I have the counselors, encouragers? Can y'all look up at me real quick? Those are your counselors, encouragers. When we stand, I say amen. They'll start playing that song. Would you step out, come and stay on that front row here and here? And then the pastor and myself will introduce you to those folks, and you take them to the side. As soon as you get through counseling with your people, you come back in here and be ready for others to talk to, okay? Can you do me a favor? Can we all please stand out with heads bowed and eyes closed? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As soon as I say amen, you step out and come. We'll be waiting for you right here, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're going to do. I pray you bless it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You come on right now. You come on. Go ahead. Would you do me a favor? Would y'all be seated real quick? Everybody be seated. There's several that looked up at me to make this decision. But there's a bunch of you didn't look up. And it's driving you crazy because I can see it on your face. Ever since I started talking about the subject, you knew God's hitting you and speaking to you about this, and you've been struggling with it. And so I don't know whether the issue is pride, whatever. I'm just telling you, you don't have to keep struggling with this. You can walk out of here with joy. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you this one story, and then Brother Lee's going to come up. He's going to take up the offering. But before he does, I was preaching in Justin, Texas, which is about 10 miles from my house. Church runs about 200 on a Sunday morning. We baptized 22 people that one Sunday morning. As soon as we got through baptizing people, there's a gentleman in his 60s that gets in his truck with his wife, drives home. He pulls up in his driveway, puts a truck in park, and leaves the truck running. He looks at his wife and says, "Honey, that was me. I was supposed to do this." She said, "Well, turn the truck around. Come on back. Let's go back." So they turned the truck around, came back. There was only about 10 of us left in the building by this time, by the time he went home and come back. And so he comes up to me. He says, "Ronnie, I was supposed to do this today." I said, "Well, there's the pastor. Let's go." Pastor took him back there, baptized him. I told y'all all that to tell you this. I'm just trying to save you some gas money, because gas is getting expensive these days. And you're going to go ahead and you're going to go all the way home, or you're going to go out into the, to a restaurant or something, and you're going to turn around and come all the way back. I'm just trying to save you some time, or whether you go back here to eat and fellowship. I'm just trying to save you some time and energy. So here's what we're going to do. When Brother Lee's come up and he takes up the offering, I'm still going to be right there. Anytime during the offering, you can still come. Anytime while they start baptizing people, you can still come. It's not too late. We will be right here. We have encouragers here for you. We're ready. But see, let me tell you this. I told you earlier about that mother from California that obeyed God, and as soon as she did that, her son came forward and got saved. Now, you can worry about your pride and what everybody thinks, but I'm going to tell you something. There's some people in here that are leaders, that are pillars of this church, and you know that your baptism is out of order. You have not been scripturally baptized. And if you obey God, it will break a floodgate open, and there will be more and more and more people need to do the same thing. And God will bless your obedience instead of worrying about what other people think. I don't care how long you've been a deacon here. I don't care how long you've been teaching Sunday school or small group or whatever. You obey God, the floodgates will come. That's the way it goes. So I'm going to be right here. They're still going to be playing that song. Brother Lee, would you come take up an offering right now? I got to tell you a couple of cool stories while we're waiting for them. They're going to talk to them real quick, and they're going to get changed, start baptizing. Talking about a whole family is getting baptized this morning. That's awesome. It's worthwhile. I've seen people. I was in Virginia, and there's a cameraman that was on TV, live TV. And so there's a cameraman filming these baptisms and stuff, and he's seeing one person after another come out of that. Out of that baptism, just weeping and with joy and stuff. He couldn't take it. After Zoe, he leaves his camera, live TV. He leaves his camera and comes up to me and says, "I got to do this." I said, "It's not too late. Come on, let's go." Took him back there, got him baptized. I could tell you, my home church, there was a coach. He's a state Hall of Fame, football Hall of Fame for high school. He's 80-something years old. It took him, he had a cane, it took him probably 10 minutes at least to get down the aisle. And as soon as he got down the aisle, he was worried that he couldn't get baptized. And like, "Hey, we got this. We can take care of you." So we put a chair in the baptism pool so that when he went down, it wouldn't hurt his back, and we just tilt him back and then baptize him. I mean, this isn't something that, "Well, I can't do this." No, you can do this. It's just a matter of obedience. And I see there's a bunch of you that are struggling with this, and it's just killing you. You don't have to struggle. You can walk out of here with relief, peace, joy. Finally, I obey God. Yes, thank you. And it's the weight off your shoulders. You can sleep good at night. I mean, knowing, hey, I obey God. I did what he told me to do. And then that just starts a snowball effect. You obey him there, you're going to obey him the rest of your Christian walk. And it's going to be the next step and the next step. But it starts with this one, the first step. And you can walk out of here with joy. Seriously. So it's not too late. You come on right now. Hey, by the way, church will be over with. And so you can just sneak out if you're worried about somebody seeing you with raccoon eyes. It's no problem. Hey, listen, if I can get dotted up, look like a porcupine, I had a fight with him, you can get a little wet. All right, it's not going to hurt whatsoever. Church's going to be over with. So you can skedaddle on out of here. Amen? We're right here. We're waiting. I want to say one other thing, too. Tonight, I just gave you a hint of my story, my testimony. Tonight, I'll be telling the rest of my story. And you don't want to miss it. And if you got anybody in your family, friends that need to hear something like that, it'll be encouraging and life-changing. So don't forget to be here back tonight. What time is it? 6 o'clock tonight. And it's going to be good, okay? If you have any family members that are getting baptized or friends and you want to take a picture, you can walk right up to those guitars. Just don't step on any of them. And take a picture if you want to. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Hey, as soon as they get, I see water stirring. The fellowship hall, we're eating dinner and food. It's for everybody. And so you don't have to bring anything. It's already back there. You'll go down the hallway. And we'll start eating food. But I'll still be right here because I know there'll be some of y'all that will get down there and turn around and come back. I'm not kidding. I know that'll happen. So I'll be right here. Hey, and I will say this. While he's going to check, I'm going to be right here when y'all go eat. I know there's going to be some people hanging back. Some people might even go to the parking lot, come back in here. Pastor's going to stay right there. So you can just bless the food probably from there and dismiss us. But he'll be. I'll ask Jesus to bless it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. You know how these pastors are. So he's going to pray for us before he does. I'll be right here. I need a couple of counselors to stay, if y'all don't mind. If there's any that went and came back, I need you to stay in here. Because there'll be some people that I don't know if you want to wait the crowd to get down or you can't stand it. So we'll be right here, and it will not be too late. Okay? So if you're in there eating and you hear, people clapping in here, that's what's going on. So you want to say anything else about that, about the food or whatever? We're good. So just go ahead and pray. And we'll, okay. Y'all are dismissed, and I'm still here.